Believe the Book. The skeptics only find ancient words from ancient times, and they're quick to tell you it's all out of date. But I see a timeless truth, and my life is living proof of its power to save, and I'm not ashamed to say
I believe the Book. Every story that I've heard, every line and every word in those sacred pages, I believe it's true, written down for me and you, and it stood the test of time through the endless ages. And because of all it has done in me, I believe the Book.
From Genesis to Revelation, from beginning to the end, from the dawning of creation to the final amen.
I believe the Book. Every story that I've heard, every line and every word in those sacred pages, I believe it's true, written down for me and you, and it stood the test of time through the endless ages. And because of all it has done in me, I believe the Book. I believe the Book.
Some people are awake. Praise the Lord. All right, let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for everyone that's here. Lord, we thank you for the people that are on the way. Lord, be with our pastor as he preaches to us today. Be with the Sunday school teachers, and Lord, just give them the words to say to affect our hearts and lives. Lord, and we ask that you will just bless our day together. We thank you for what you're going to do, and we can't wait to see what you are going to do. Lord, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand and turn to 162. To God be the glory. 162.
To God be the glory, great things he had done, and who loved he the world that he gave us his son, who his life in atonement for sin, and open the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come
Father through Jesus the Son and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood. Free believer, the promise of God, the vilest offender, thou truly believes, and from Jesus the pardon receive. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done. And great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. Over and higher and greater will be our wonder, transport with Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give him the glory, great things he had done. Amen. You may be seated and turn over to 173. Love lifted me. I was sinking deep in sin, peaceful shore, deeply sinking within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to him I'll give, ever to him I'll cling. In his blessed presence live, ever to praise to sing. A love so mighty and so true merits a solemn song. Faithful service one and two to him belong. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Souls in danger look above, Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. The sea billows his will obey. He's your savior, wants to be saved today. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. My son's in the window and I'm playing with him, sorry. All right, glad you all could be here today. Today, it is August 13th, and back to school and promotion Sunday with snow cones for all. And Hannah will be giving her report and showing a DVD of her Brazil trip tonight. Yeah. Anyway, should have brought my other glasses. They invited to the McAllisters for our goodbye fellowship after the services tonight, August 14th. That's tomorrow. Senior Saints at the church will be at noon. Wednesday, August 16th, Bible preaching and prayer at 7 p.m. Saturday, August 19th, bus visitation and churchwide Operation Saturation and soul winning. Sunday, September 3rd, 4 p.m. service with popcorn preaching and singing, and fellowship will follow the 4 p.m. afternoon service. September 23rd, 22nd, and 23rd, Baptist Men Recharge at the Wheat State Camp in Augusta, Kansas. In October is our missions month. We will be having several missionaries during that month, and keep... And if you need to know more about our missionaries, they are on the wall between here and the foyer. So please look at their prayer letters and pray for them. And remember the folks on the back that need prayer. Thank you very much. Brother, all yours.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. This nice, well, maybe sunny later day, okay? All right, it's good to have you today. We're in the book of Acts in chapter 21. We got ready. Normally on Monday, it was on Monday that I got my lessons started and everything, where I was going and got all this going and everything. And then on Thursday at our house, we had a power outage. I didn't know until Friday, when I went back down and checked my Sunday school lesson, that I forgot to save. That happens to me quite often. I forget a lot of things. But I got it. I did. I had time. That's what you got to do when you're preparing for something. Make sure that you have time to get everything done. This morning, we are going to be in Acts chapter 21, and I was looking forward to completing this chapter today, to get in chapter 22, and some of these chapters in the next few chapters may go by a little bit quicker, because Paul is on his journey here, and it's going to be, a lot of things are going to happen, and I just realized I got the last half of my outline. Well, that's good, because it's five pages. I'm sure I can find something in here. But we're going to be starting here in chapter 21. That's a good start, because that's where I said. And we'll be backing up to verse 14. And it says, we cease saying the will of the Lord be done. Talking about the Apostle Paul here in these verses, they had been told here in verse 10 about Agabus came and he presented a visual statement to Paul that he was going to be captured, that he was going to be in trouble. And we notice there that Agabus said here, he came to Paul, and I went down to where I wanted to get here, and here it is. He said, in verse 11, he said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And so he's kind of foretelling what's going to happen. And, of course, we know here in verse 13, then Paul answered and said, what meaneth ye to weep and to break my heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. So that's what his heart's already been made up. His mind has been made up. made up. And then in this next verse, in verse 14, was just read, and when he would not be persuaded, we ceased saying. And then they come to this, and they said, the will of the Lord be done. Paul, whatever's going to happen, the Lord's going to take care of you. We know that you're going to be in his hand. Paul had the assurance that that he was going to be able to go through whatever it might be, even if it was, we're getting ready to advance kids here, it looks like. We're moving along. But anyway, it didn't matter what, as Paul said, it didn't matter what happened, whether he was bound or he had to die in Jerusalem, he was willing to go. Paul had, as I said before, had a very deep feeling for Israel and for the Jews. We're going to be talking a little bit more about that in a few more verses. But before we go any further, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, I'm thankful for this day you've given us. Now, Lord, I do pray that you would help us to read your word and understand it. Thank you for the time that we have together and to in fellowship around your word. Lord, I pray that you just help us to give you the honor and the glory and the praise in all that we do, that we might lift up you today. Father, I do pray for our pastor as he comes and preaches the word this morning. I pray, Lord, that his message will be one that will touch the hearts of men and women, boys and girls. Lord, we know that you're not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So, Lord, we ask that you help us to open our ears so we'd be able to hear. Most of all, Lord, open our hearts that we receive your word. We ask it all in thy Son's name, in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, and so we see there, they said, the will of the Lord be done. That's very important that we need to realize that it doesn't matter what the situation may be in our lives, that we need to always realize that the will of the Lord needs to be done. I believe that when Jesus was here upon this earth and he was in the garden, as he was praying there, he said, not my will, but thy will be done, Lord. And I think that's what the people here at this time had made that decision. Whatever happens, God, we know it's going to be God's will. You know, there's a lot of things that happen in our lives that we don't understand why, but we can be assured God's still in control. And we find in the book of Romans, I think it's chapter 12 here. I'll turn over there real quick. Chapter 12. The Apostle Paul writes this in the book of Romans. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then he goes on and tells them, you know, God allows us he wants us to be a sacrifice for him, but he wants us to be a living sacrifice. And he tells us in verse 2, I'm glad that God does this. When he gives us something or tells us something, he tells us how to go about that. He says in the next verse, to be conformed, he said, be not conformed to this world. He says, that's how you're going to be able to do this. How you're going to be able to be a holy sacrifice acceptable unto God. He says, the first thing you got to do is not to be conformed to this world. He says, but this is what needs to happen. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you might prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, use that verse of scripture because right here, we see the Apostle Paul, some people think that he was out of God's will. I think that he fell somewhere in between that good and perfect will of God. So he's doing what God, and what doesn't matter, sometimes what direction we take sometimes, God, if we're in the will of God, if we're trusting God, and he was trusting God, we can see that in his statement. He was trusting the Lord. It doesn't matter if we're a little out of the realm here. He's going to make it happen, whatever happens. And so I believe that the Apostle Paul was going to go through all the things that he's going through. Matter of fact, clear back when he got converted in Acts chapter 9, Ananias had told him that he was going to stand before kings and different ones. He just hadn't got to do that yet. But through this process, he is going to do it. I don't know if he had listened to the Holy Spirit and not gone there. I believe that he probably would have had a longer missionary life of telling other people and different things like that, being able to go to other places in other cities and proclaiming the gospel. The gospel may have been spread more, but we're going to find out when he gets here. But he's going to still end up before kings, King Agrippa and Felix and the governors. And so he's going to do and fulfill the will of God. And so we see here in the next verse, in verse 15, says, after these days, we took up our carriage and went up to Jerusalem. And there went with us also certain of the disciples of Caesarea and brought with them one Manus of Cyprus, an old disciple with whom we should lodge. I want to stop there for just a minute. I was looking at this last week. This is really important. It's something I think that we forget about in the New Testament church. The New Testament church in the first century there were very hospitable people. I mean, they brought people in and they talked to them. Even we find out in the book of Acts in chapter 2, we can see where it starts right here. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42 says here, Acts 2:42 says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayer. And so it was a continual thing that they continued doing that. They were steadfastly at doing that. They were welcoming one another, and we can see in a few chapters there when Barnabas comes in to the story in Acts chapter 4, I think it is. In the last part of Acts chapter 4, we see here that they're so hospitable at this time that they're actually, it says in verse 35, and laid them down at the, okay, but for 34 and 33, we'll do that one, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessed of land and houses sold them and brought the pieces of the things that they sold. And so we see here they were hospitable. They were trying to do whatever they could for the people. And here in this verse of scripture, we find here's a man of Cyprus, but he has some lodging in Jerusalem. And he is willing to be hospitable to them and telling them that he will help them when they get to have a place for them there. We find the scriptures talks a lot about hospitality. It says one of the qualifications of a pastor in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2 says, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, a good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. You know, it's important that we're hospitable to people. I remember when we first started a church in Salina, and we had a small congregation. At first, there was about six of us, I think, that signed our church covenant and got started there. But one of the things that we practiced was every Sunday, if I had someone, a guest, come to visit, they would come over to our house for lunch. And my wife was very good at making spaghetti, I'll tell you. of course, I had five kids at the time. We always had a lot to eat. I mean, when she made a meal, she made a big meal. And so we were always able to have people over. When we went to North Woodlawn Baptist Church, there were times when we'd have a special day or something, and we'd been out inviting people, and they come to church. If they came to church, they got to go over to our house for lunch. My wife loved lasagna, and she could make one of the big lasagnas and do all that stuff, and she was a real hospitable person. I mean, there was many times when I'd come home, and there would be people in my house that I didn't know. because she was just that way. Connie and I would just love to have people over, but right now we're in a situation where we can't do that like we did. And you know what? I miss it. I miss it. And I know she does. She's a person, people person. She's a people person. And so, not a person, people, but yeah, I got it right, I think. But anyway, we like to do that. And you know, that ought to be a characteristic of a Christian. We got something that somebody else can use? Do it. I'm so thankful for our pastor. I was needing to put some fence poles up. I didn't have a fence pole digger or any of those things. He had one. And, you know, so we were out there putting fence poles up. The other day it had been raining and everything, and I hadn't been able to get out on my yard to get it mowed or anything. And so I said, "Preacher, you know, I really hate to ask, but I know Joseph mows yards. Could he come over and mow my yard?" And, of course, between rains, he got it done, you know. So, I'm thankful for the hospitality. And we need to show hospitality. It's important. That's what the qualification of a pastor, but it doesn't end right there. Let's look in Romans chapter 12. Whoa, it was just over there a little bit ago, wasn't it? I shouldn't have took my finger out of that page. So I looked further in my notes. I might have caught that and left it there. But anyway, Romans chapter 12. And verse 13, it says, distributing the necessities of saints given to hospitality. Now, that was a requirement. He was talking about, let's read that's chapter 11, verse 13. No, that's 12. No, I looked at one page and said 11, never mind. We're on the right page, verse 12. Let's back up just a little bit and see what it says. Verse 10, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. There's a way we can serve the Lord this way. It says serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulations. Well, that's what one thing we got to do is just be, you know, it's one of the things I have found as we go through different tribulations and things in our life, just be patient. Patience. You know, it says tribulation worketh patience. That's exactly what God teaches us during these times. Just be patient. He's going to take care of things. It says patient in tribulations, continue instant in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, and bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. And so he tells us here, he gives us some instructions. The Apostle Paul was very much aware of these things and the importance of them. And we need to be given to hospitality. Not only that verse of scripture there, we can also look in 1 Peter. 1 Peter, a little bit further back in your Bible there, after James, get to James, and then 1 Peter. And 1 Peter, where did I write it down? Chapter 4, verse 9. Back up just a little bit further here, verse 7. And it says, "And the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have a fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging." Be hospitable. We need to show our hospitality. You know, it's one thing for us, and I think the church, we need to be friendly when people come in. We need to greet them. We need to encourage them and thank them for being in the house of the Lord, to be able to worship with us today. But we also need to be concerned about them. What can we do? How can we help? And these things need to be on our mind. Anyway, back to this verse of scripture we were looking at here this morning. We find here the man from Caesarea, and his name was Mason of Syria. And it says there he was an old disciple. Now, normally in the Bible, when it talks about an old disciple, they're usually talking about a person that has accepted Christ before he went to the cross. In other words, he might have been there at the feeding of the 5,000. He might have been there at some time during the life of Christ. But somewhere along the line, he accepted the Lord as his personal Savior. And so they made the distinction. As I was reading this, I kind of thought it to be unusual because it did say an old. It wasn't necessarily his age, although he might have been an old disciple. It meant that he was a disciple in the early part of Christ's life. And of course, we know through reading the Gospels, you'll find out many people had accepted Christ, and they went everywhere. And so he was the man that gave him the lodging. And in verse 17, it says, "When they were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly." Again, that hospitality. I believe it was probably part of the Jewish way, because you know that it gets several portions of scripture there where Jesus talked about a man needing bread and went to his neighbor and knocked on the door and asked him to give him a loaf of bread because he had friends come in. He wanted to be hospitable to his friends, but he needed something from a neighbor. And so that just should be the way that we live our lives. And somebody has a need, to be able to meet those needs in those situations. We're thankful. I'll tell you what, we've had, since Connie had her last fall and everything, we've had lots of cards been sent. We appreciate that. And that helps us to know people are praying and are thinking of us. And not only that, got some flowers the other day from the Wells. Very nice bouquet. And that shows us that they're concerned. You know, talking about hospitality in the church. You know, when I go on visiting on Saturday, sometimes I go to people that are in our Sunday school class. And I go over to Edie and Darrell's house a few times. Of course, Darrell's been laid up here, not able to get around, but every time I go into the door, the first thing Edie says, "You need something to drink? I got the coffee on." She knows that I like coffee. But anyway, got the coffee on, you know, and she's hospitable. I go over there to Sanborn's house, knock on their door early in the morning or something. I says, "Breakfast ready?" "Yeah, they're ready for breakfast," you know. So they're always hospitable. They ask you to come in, and you know, you just... Sometimes when you're out knocking doors, a lot of times people don't necessarily invite you in. So hospitable. That's back in the other verse we were just talking about. I just happened to think about it. But we have this in verse 17 here in our lesson today. And it says, "And when we were come to Jerusalem," the brethren were hospitable. Here they received us gladly. They received them. And it says in verse 18, "And the day following, Paul went with us unto James, and all the elders were present." And so he comes here to James this next day. And James, there's he's also the author, I think I have in one place. He was the author of the book of James. And not only that, he was called in Galatians chapter 9. Well, let's look in Acts chapter 15 first. Acts chapter 15, back a few pages here. Acts chapter 15 and verse 13. It says, "After they had held their peace, James answered and said, 'Men and brethren, hearken unto me.'" So James is kind of the leading preacher there in Jerusalem. And so they came to him, and I think there was another place. Yeah, Galatians chapter 1, in the book of Galatians chapter 1. This is interesting that Paul writes this, and he calls him. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 19. Verse 19 says, "But others of the apostles saw I none, save James, the brother, the Lord's brother." Calls him the Lord's brother. He actually was the Lord's cousin. And anyway, that's the same James as for as what I can what I could find out. So they went to talk to him, and it says all the elders were present. And that, and one author stated that he did not think James was probably only one of the closer apostles that was there. The majority, a lot of the apostles had gone out to different places to minister and to teach and to preach in different places. And so James was there, and he goes into James in this particular chapter here, 21. And it says, and all the elders were present, so that present. And it says, verse 19, and when they had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. And so he goes in there and he talks about the things that he talked about of his ministry. Let's look in Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. This morning we're doing a little bit of moving around here in the Bible. Romans chapter 15, verses 18 and 19. It says, "For I will not dare to speak of any of these things which Christ hath not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word or deed." And throughout though mighty signs and wonders by the powers of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and around about Iconium, I have fully preached the gospel. And so that's what the thing was that he was doing. He wanted to go in and fully preach the gospel, telling them of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He wasn't trying to put any more burdens on them or any of these things. He wanted just to preach the gospel to them. And so that's what things is talking about that. He said, by my ministry. Let's look in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, we were just there not long ago. But Acts chapter 20, verse 24. He says, but none of these things move me, neither can I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. So that was his purpose. That was his whole purpose. I want to preach the gospel of the grace of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that said, for by grace, he wrote, and according to the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, of course, he said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He was the one who was out there proclaiming the gospel. And so he told all these things, and that's what when it says here that he was telling them about the ministry and the things that he had did. He said, verse 19, and when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. He told them all the things that had happened, how the people were saved and come to knowledge of the truth and all these things. And that's what he was preaching there. And verse 20 says, in our lesson today, I need to get there. Chapter 21, verse 20. And it says, and we heard, and when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, thou seest, brother, how many thousands of the Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law. Here comes the problem. The Jews here. He's telling them, and this is James after they listened to Paul and all the things that he had said, and he said. He said, and when they heard it, they glorified the Lord. They glorified the Lord because Gentiles were getting saved. Now, when Paul, in all those cities he went to, he would go into the synagogue and he would preach to the Jews. And many of them would reject him. And so, and then there was others that were Christian Jews, but they wanted to hold on to their old ways. They wanted to hold on to those things. I remember first time, right after I'd gotten saved, and I became went to Temple Baptist Church, And I talked to Brother Newman. Brother Newman is my pastor. And one morning, I hadn't been there very long. I don't think I'd been baptized by this time. But he told the men, all the men come in here before church, and we're going to have a prayer meeting. We're going to pray. And I went in there and prayed, and I thought, I went in there to pray, and I was listening to people as they were praying. And I had the thought to myself, I don't think the Hail Mary is going to work. I may not be able to, say my rosary here. This is not the prayer that they're talking about. But as I listened, as a young believer and accepted Christ as my personal Savior, I knew when I got saved, Brother Ramsey had told me, just speak from your heart. And so that first time I knelt down there with those guys and prayed, it was very simple. I tell you, I said, Lord, I'm thankful you saved me. And Lord, I don't know what to say. So Lord, amen. And that was about it, But hey, it was a start. And then I began to realize I need to think about my prayer life and how to pray. And so anyway, I'm talking about the Judaizers here. They had their own customs. They had all things that they were doing, and it was very hard for them to turn loose of these things. And that's the reason why in this portion of Scripture we're going to find that James, the one that's head of this church in Jerusalem here, is going to ask Paul to do some things. And he said, for one reason here was that because they had thousands of Jews which believed. They believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. They believed that he was the Messiah. But the problem was they were wanting to still hang on. They were zealous of the law. You must live the law. You must do what the law has told us. And Lord told him, even when he was here upon the earth, he came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And see, that's the problem that they didn't understand, was that they didn't realize that Jesus had fulfilled the law for them. You know, they could have went back to the day of the crucifixion when Christ was hung upon the cross, and he said, it's finished. And the temple in Jerusalem, the veil was rent from top to bottom. That was God showing them, it's over. You don't need another sacrifice. You don't have to bring lambs. You don't have to do these things. The Son of God, the Lamb of God, has taken care of all those things for you. Unfortunately, what did they do the next day? They mended the veil. They put it back up. Hey, wait a minute. The veil's up there. So something happened. Must have been a lightning strike or something. I don't know what they thought when they seen the veil was rent, but they mended it. They mended it. Why? So they could go on worshiping God just the way they always wanted to worship him. There's a lot of things, a lot of different religions out there. There's some, I know when I was a Catholic, of course, we prayed the rosary and different things like that, meaningless, repetitious type of prayer. There are also some things in the Catholic Church. Had what they call a scapular, which is a little square piece of material that you put around your neck, and if you died wearing that, you're in good shape. All kinds of little things like that. But you had to put those things behind. And what they were having a problem with is they were having a problem with putting those things behind. But God is a wise God, and he's a great God, and he's going to take care of it for them. Because in a few years from this, Jerusalem's going to be destroyed. The temple's going to be torn down. And they're no longer going to be able to worship God by killing animals and all these things, making sacrifices to him. So we see here that they're telling him about this in verse 20, that the people, a lot of the Jews got saved, and they're very zealous for the law. And, there's a lot of people today even zealous. Oh, you got to keep the Ten Commandments. Oh, you got to be baptized. A lot of people say, hey, you have to be baptized. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says you need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Jesus told Nicodemus, ye must be born again. It must have, you got the fleshly birth and you have the spiritual birth. You must be born of the Spirit. And so we see that. But people, just like the Jews back in these days, they wanted to hang on to their old religion. They wanted to hang on to those things and not turn loose of some of these things. Now, the interesting thing in this all is, too, is that the Jews thought that they ought to hang on to the law. But let's read on a little bit further. It says in verse 21, and they were informed of these they were informed of thee, talking about Paul, the people have been informed of thee, that thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that there ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. James is being frank with him here. What we find out is that when you're out there preaching, you're telling these Jews, you've gone into the synagogue and told them that those things are past now. And people don't believe that you're really a Jew. And so we see here that's his argument. We got to show these Judaizers that you still are a Jew, Paul. And basically what James is telling him here. And then it says in verse 22, what is this then? Therefore, the multitude must need come together, for they will hear that thou art come. He said, we got to bring the multitude together. A lot of times when we start compromising and different things, I don't know if they've understood it. Now, there's something that we have today that James did not have. That's the Word of God. He didn't have it all. All he knew was the Old Testament. So you really can't blame him for saying, hey, this is what God said to do, then we must do it. You know, he's trying to be obedient to God. He's trying to do this thing. And so were these Judaizers. But they hadn't realized that Jesus had did more than that, than what they can imagine. And so he said in this verse 22, the multitude must need come together, for they will hear that thou art come. He said, then verse 22, do therefore this, that we say to thee, we have four men which have a valve on them. Verse 24, them take and purify thyself with them and be at charge with them that they may shave their heads and all may know that these things whereof they were informed concerning thee are nothing but that thou thyself also walkest orderly and keep the law. Yeah, I look at that and say, Paul, all the preaching you've been doing, and now they're asking you to do something that you really don't believe. You know what? Paul was still a Jew. He was a Jew. And he thought, well, you know, there's some things a little bit right here. I mean, I personally know that these sacrifices are not going to do anything. I know that I'm not gaining any more favor with God by doing all these things, but yet we find out here in the next verse, it says, verse 26. Then Paul took the men, and the next day purified himself with them, entering into the temple to signify accomplishment of the days of purification, until that an offering should be offered for everyone. So their sacrifice was going to be made here. I think it was, and I didn't bring that page. It was something I had wrote on the back of something else. But anyway, maybe I wrote it down in here too. I could have gone ahead and typed over this. John R. Rice. I know I got it in here. He made three observations on this. of something that the Apostle Paul failed to realize. And what verse was that? 26. I got 26 here. I know it. Yeah, there it is, John R. Rice. Okay. I'm already four pages ahead of myself. All right. John R. Rice said that Paul was offering the sacrifice appeasing the Judaizers, Christians, Judaizing Christians. Like I said, what they were is people that were still hanging on to the law and didn't see the Lord said that he came to fulfill the law, not to destroy it, but to fulfill it. And not understanding the purpose of the law. We talked about that before when we talked about sanctification and redemption. The purpose of the law was to show mankind that we are sinners and we'll never meet the righteousness of God. Okay, John R. Rice said this. He said his motive for doing this was wrong because he was trying to pacify and to please the Judaizers, the Jews. And what did Agabus tell him? He said, the Jews is what's going to take care of you, Paul. He says in verse 11 of this verse, it says, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man and that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him unto the Gentiles. And we're going to see all this happen. All because he does this. He was motivated, had the wrong motivation for doing this. And it was wrong because the Jews wanted to leave an impression. This is the impression that they wanted to leave. The impression was that they were better than the Gentiles. They kept the law. They did all these things. Yes, they knew that, yeah, the Gentiles can be saved, and that's okay, and they'll go their way, but we are better. We're going to keep the law. And so that's basically, John R. Rice has said that, and I thought that was pretty good because it does kind of give an illustration of what they did, and they always thought they were better than everybody else. And in then another thing was, it was wrong because Paul entered into the temple to offer a lamb sacrifice when the lamb had already been slain on Calvary. And so, and of course, we know in AD 70 that God took care of that. They're no longer able to do sacrifices. The temple's been destroyed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we're thankful for this day you've given us. Now, Lord, I pray that you be with the pastor as he comes and proclaims your word. I pray, Lord, that you help us to look to you for guidance and direction. Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit would walk amongst us this morning, that, Lord, you would open our ears and let us hear. Lord, open our hearts that we'll receive your word. Thank you for all you've done for us. Thank you for going to the cross of Calvary, shedding your blood and dying. We're so thankful, Lord, the third day you rose again from the dead. Lord, we know one day we're going to see you face to face. Father, I pray that you have your will and way now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we got about 10 minutes, so you may get a drink, go to the restroom.